possible, Marie Antoinette was dancing up to the moment she gave birth.
"I suppose so," Esme said, wondering whether a black gown would diminish the look of her waist. She was no longer in full mourning, and the idea of returning to blacks was dispiriting. But then, so was her girth.
"I took the liberty of asking just a few persons to follow me tomorrow," her aunt went on briskly. "We shall dine alone tonight, unless Stephen Fairfax Lacey joins us in time. I suppose you know that your friend, the Duchess of Garton, is enceinte. If she births a male, obviously Fairfax Lacey will lose his title. Mind you, it was only an honorary one, but having had it for 8 years at least, the man will probably feel as if he's lost his hair. We'll have to cheer him up, won't we, darling?"
Esme looked up, startled. "Fairfax Lacey? I am not in a position to entertain a house party, particularly one which includes a man I have only the slimmest acquaintance with." Arabella ignored her.
"And, of course, I've brought my dame de compagnie with me. Why be on our lonesome when we needn't? It is the season, but I fancy that my invitation outweighs any tedious little parties that might be occurring in London."
"But, Aunt Arabella, this is not entirely suitable."
"Nonsense! I shall take care of everything. In fact, I already have. I brought some of my staff with me, dearest, because there are such terrible difficulties with people hired in the country. Are there not?"
"Oh," Esme said, wondering how her butler, Slope, had taken this news. The extra footman might come in handy if she was reduced to being hoisted about in a chair.
"As I said, a very few persons will follow tomorrow, just to enliven dinner, if nothing else. Of course, we won't hold any public gatherings, or perhaps only a very, very small one, because of your condition."
"But..."
"Now, darling," Arabella said, patting her hand. "I've brought you a basket, absolutely full of the latest creams and soaps, made by that Italian man, the one with the funny little shop in the Blackfriars. They are all absolutely efficacious. You must try them immediately. Your mother's skin was disastrous when she was carrying you."
She peered at Esme's face.
"But yours appears to be remarkable." "Oh, well, you always did take after me. Now, I shan't expect you downstairs until dinner. You do remember that Fairfax Lacey is a Member of Parliament?"
Esme was starting to have an odd feeling about the presence of Stephen Fairfax Lacey. "Aunt Arabella," she said, "you wouldn't be thinking of matchmaking, would you? My husband died only 8 months ago." Her aunt raised her exquisitely shaped and dyed eyebrows.
"If you call me aunt again, my dearest, I shall scream. It makes me feel quite ancient. Arabella to you, thank you very much. We are family, after all."
"I would be delighted," Esme said.
"But..."
Arabella was never one to respect another's sentence.
"It's a dreary business, being a widow. I know, as I've been one 3 times over."
She lost her train of thought for a second and then continued.
"Now, I'm not saying that I couldn't be married if I chose, because I could."
"Lord Whinnemore would marry you in a heartbeat," Esme agreed.
"Precisely," Arabella said, waving her hand. "I've invited Whinnemore as well. He should arrive tomorrow. But my point is, darling, that being a widow is rather daunting. Fatiguing, really."
"Oh, dear," Esme said, thinking that her aunt did look rather more tired than she'd seen her in the past. "You must make a long visit."
"Nonsense," Arabella said smartly. "I shall stay with you for the time being. But where's the excitement in living with a woman, hmm?"
Her wicked smile made her lose at least 20 years. Esme grinned back. "I'll take your word for it. Miles and I only lived together for 1 year, and that was years ago, so I can hardly speak from experience."
"All the more reason to marry again," Arabella observed.
"Now, I've been thinking about Stephen Fairfax Lacey. He's just..."